Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Thanks for joining me. We're talking about another Discerning the Times, Departing the Faith. Well, as reported by way of literature, there are several people to add to this growing list of deserters of the Christian faith. Reed and Jess Bogard, they are a husband and wife pastoral team of Hillsong Dallas, and apparently the church has shut down due to the two leaders who spent thousands and thousands of dollars of the church's money to fund their extravagant lifestyle on clothing, meals, trips, whatever. I guess it can be likely truthfully stated that people like the Bogards do what they do in service to self, not in service to the Lord. Carl Lentz, former leader of New York City Hillsong Church, was fired not that long ago from the church after his affair with a Muslim designer surfaced. Dave Gass, who had, quote, 20 years experience pastoring evangelical churches, including Grace Family Fellowship of Pleasant Hill, Missouri, unquote, tweeted out from his Twitter account the following, quote, I am walking away from the faith. Even though this has been a massive bomb drop in my life, it has been decades in the making, unquote. John Steingard, singer and guitarist of the Christian rock band Hawk Nelson, and also a pastor's son, announced this past May 2020 that he was now an agnostic. His statement, quote, I now find I no longer believe in God, unquote, really makes him more of an atheist than an agnostic, as he renounced the faith he said he once held. You know, it's funny, while the debate continues as to whether or not a person can actually lose their salvation, it appears these people who do walk away from the faith do so because they were not real Christians in the first place. 1 John 2:19 says, they went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. You know, we see the reality of their lives and the decisions to walk away or depart from the faith. Now, if we couple this, what John just said in 1 John, with Paul's statements concerning the coming great falling away from his perspectives, we come to no other conclusion, really. Ultimately, obviously, it is for God alone to decide and to judge, though his word seems to clarify for us. Here's what Paul says, first to the 2 Thessalonians 2:3, to that group of people, and then he also writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, 1-3. So he says to the Thessalonians, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. 1 Timothy says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Well, the term falling away in the texts essentially means to depart from revealed truth. The Greek word apostasia or apostasia is the origin of the term falling away. And because of this, people even during Jesus's day essentially departed from the truth or turned away from him and stopped following him because he was the truth and is the truth. You can look read about that in John 6. Now, of course, what is just as concerning, if not more so, are the many leaders within Christendom who have not yet physically left the faith, but have remained, and they are teaching heresies to followers, which results in creating heretics. This latter group actually may be worse than the first, though both are clearly problematic. While the first group has at least been honest, they've come to a point of being honest enough to admit their own failure to believe the truth and have realizing they cannot remain. Well, the latter group has walked away from the truth and replaced it with lies, yet they remain in positions of authority within Christendom. So the first group, at least they're honest enough to admit they can't do this anymore. The second group of people, they're not honest. They're deceivers, and they continue in Christendom as leaders with authority. What followers of those who remain have done is cling to a particular personality, one they specifically feel endearment toward and can equate to. This is done because those leaders are often quite engaging. They're entertaining to a point. You want to listen to them. You're kind of drawn into what they're telling you. They appear honest. They are upbeat. They speak with some semblance of authority. And by the way, that's often a learned trait with people who learn to do public speaking. You get better at it the more you do it. They never offer any real hard sayings, as Jesus often did. And again, go back to John 6 for that. Instead, these leaders spoon out emotional pabulum, and it engages the hearers only by tickling their ears. So, for these followers, rejecting the teachings of their chosen leader means they would need to reject the person that they follow. This they are often fully unable to do, since that action would create a deep sense of loss within them, kind of an emotional divorce. Well, certainly we need to pray for these followers and the false leaders, that God would open the eyes of both to see the heresy that they're teaching and that others are embracing. We know that God has done and continues to do this, open the eyes of people, because there are many who do end up walking away from these false teachers. And that certainly needs to happen more and more. Now, what's interesting here, it doesn't just stop or start within Christendom. Apparently, even Democrats in Congress within greater society are getting into the act. Two Democrats have written letters to CEOs of major cable providers to take action against certain conservative news bureaus. They want them deplatformed. The falling away from God's moral code continues even outside the church. Now, due to Marxism and other left-wing ideologies, society outside Christendom is quickly and consistently breaking down into a chaotic mess. Romans 1. Unfortunately, this type of error is also leaching into Christendom, which is why there are a growing number of teachers whose lies are accepted as truth. Obviously, the father of this is Satan himself, and he does what he can to create all of this to bring about the final world order. But I'd like to end this on a very refreshing biblical note, with Isaiah 58:11 from the New King James Version. Let's do that, shall we? The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. God says in this one verse, He will guide you continually. Moreover, He will satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. Beyond this, your life will be like a watered garden whose waters do not fail. That's fascinating to me. You know, there is something, though, that is seriously implicit in the above verse. And because it's not directly stated, it can be easily missed. In fact, I believe that most of God's promises are conditional with a few exceptions, like God will never leave or forsake us, Matthew 28:20, and also Hebrews 13:5. The implication is that God will do these things for us, Isaiah 58:11, on condition if we willingly obey Him in all things. That is the beginning and the end of it. in my opinion, if we obey his commands, he will reward us, quote unquote, with the fulfillment of his promises. Consider why many people become saved today. It's often what? To avoid hell, right? While there's nothing wrong with wanting to avoid eternity in hell, if that is the only reason to embrace salvation, something huge is being missed, and it's not being explained to people. Now, I don't want to get into the lordship salvation debate at all. That's going to rage on forever until we all see Christ. However, I do believe it is important for unsaved and saved alike to understand that becoming a Christian should mean we enter into a living, growing relationship with God, whereby we give him our lives to do what he will do, and we endeavor to serve him in exchange for the salvation we have received. This is exactly the model that Jesus lived for us when he lived on this earth. He was and remains our perfect example, with a capital E. How can we simply receive salvation and then go off and live our own life without even a care about what God might want to accomplish in and through us for him? Too many pastors and evangelists rarely, if ever, preach this thing from the pulpit, in my opinion, from what I've heard. Too often, they use the same types of motivational verbiage or guilt cues first promoted by Charles Finney. Yes, God wants us saved. Absolutely. He wants us to make a decision to receive salvation so that we can avoid hell. But God also wants to give us salvation in exchange for our willingness to make him Lord of our life. That's the reality. Now, as we learn to live in this manner, and yes, it is a process, I believe God's promises throughout his word become active in our daily living. There is no way that a person will see the fulfillment of God's promises, like Isaiah 58:11, for instance, unless that person is determined to live the way God wants him or her to live. The entirety of the Old Testament alone is filled with examples of people who did or did not live in obedience to God and his will within the nation of Israel. These are examples to us. The nation of Israel was always in or out of favor, fellowship with God, and it was always based on their obedience, their willingness to follow through in the completion of his commands. You know, many Christians today think, oh, well, I'm free. I don't have to follow, quote unquote, the Ten Commandments. No, we actually have to live the way God wants us to live. And being a Christian means that the Holy Spirit is within us, who empowers us to live that way. We don't have to live that way for our salvation. We live that way because of our salvation. Hugely different. The many times that God dealt with Israel in the Old Testament is totally proof of this. Just as God promised to never leave or forsake the nation of Israel, remember, he always keeps for himself a remnant. Paul explains this in Romans 9 through 11. The same applies to each Christian within God's body, Christ's body. Now, if we do as Solomon says, quote, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, Ecclesiastes 12:13. Once we do that, I mean do it, start to actively do it, we will begin, I believe, to receive the many blessings that God has promised us. It's not the word of faith life. It's not even living a life of believing. It's actually living a life of doing. God empowers us to fulfill his will, to be obedient to his commands, not so that we will, quote unquote, earn salvation, something we cannot do, but something that we will fulfill his word by living, his commandments by living. Okay, so the many blessings that God has promised us are ours if we will do what we're supposed to do. these will come to pass. Those promises, I believe, will come to pass. Oh, yeah, there may be hardships and troubles in our life. God told us through Christ that, you know, tribulations and trials are going to come your way. But God will bless us in the midst of them because of our obedience to Him in all things. Folks, I think, and you're probably with me if you've been reading this blog for any length of time, or if you're continuing to read it or listen to these audios, you're probably of the same mind. There are difficult days ahead, as I'm sure you know. There could be drought, famine, loss of job, or any number of other situations. I just read a couple of articles the other day that said the supply chain is drying up. Costs of goods and services are going way high. I'm seeing that. I'm sure you are too. So I'm convinced that God will not leave us who seek to fear God and keep His commandments. You know, as God fed Elijah by the ravens, God will take care of His people. But there is an obligation that we have to obey Him, to live as He would have us live. The two go hand in hand. And again, I want to emphasize, while we do not work for our salvation, that is a free gift, we can do nothing to earn it. We must be willing to submit ourselves to Him for His use so that the work we do after we are saved will bring Him much glory. It's the only way I know of as to actually be an authentic Christian in life daily. I wish I knew it years ago. Anyway, thanks for joining me, and I hope you have a great weekend, and I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in Him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.